The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Pettirudi. I'm here with Shannon and Nick behind the glass. It's a glorious morning in Rhode Island, the best place to live in the entire world, despite our little hiccups and barriers to success. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
Well, welcome back. It's great having you back on the show.
Yeah, it's only been a week.
what do you like better, being a co-host on the show or loading boxes in trucks?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes it's a toss-up.
Hey, Nick, how you doing back there?
Pretty good this morning.
Well, you know, Nick, we got to go to opening day, Shannon and I, at Red Sox up at Fenway Park. What a glorious day. Big baseball fan. I love the Red Sox, watching them play. You know, and I love the Paw Sox, too. That's a great day out at the ballpark. But I just don't think 10 cents of public money should go into a private endeavor such as a ballpark.
I would agree.
Now, Pawtucket's a nice little city, but listen, Pawtucket, if you're listening, do not spend money on a Paw Sox stadium. How much money, public money, went into Gillette Stadium? None. Right? Guy built his own stadium. We're talking subsidies for millionaires and billionaires. All right, Pawtucket, here's your deal. If you want to put money, public money, into a private endeavor, give it to me. We will open up Intellectual Medicine of Pawtucket, better serving the populace. What do you think, Shan?
I think it's a great idea.
I think they should build it for us. Build us our clinic. So what do you want to talk about? Well, you know, I left our listeners last week, and I told them I would give them a health tip that they could use to their benefit for their family members themselves if they ever find themselves in the unfortunate circumstance of having to go to the hospital. And you know, I left and forgot all about it. So here it is. Here it is, picking up from last week to our faithful listeners. There is a 50% reduction in the life-threatening colonic infection known as Clostridium difficile, abbreviated capital C period difficile. You remember they taught about that, right? It's pretty widely.
Pretty common.
Pretty common. Mm-hmm. And what happens to folks that are a little bit weakened, they go to the hospital, and what's the first thing they do most of the time? They put you on colossal doses of antibiotics almost all the time, and it obliterates the colonic bacteria in a way that enables this particular bacteria to overgrow, threatening your life by virtue of creating watery, loose stool that can dehydrate and kill. 50% reduction if you're placed on probiotic. Now, here's the deal. They don't have this at the hospital, and when you bring it in, they're going to take it from you. So you got to hide it in that little drawer next to your bed, and don't let the nurse see it. The nurses are pretty cool about that. You know,
they would.
They're pretty cool. They're not going to steal it like it's contraband. But here's the thing. When it comes to probiotic, Shane, can we post something so folks can look at this?
About probiotic?
Well, yeah. I want to be specific with the species because this gets confusing to folks.
Sure.
So you can do that, right?
I can do that.
You're amazing. Now, how are you going to do that and where can they find it?
I'll put it on our blog.
We have a blog.
We do.
How's that blog going?
Not well. We need some stuff from you.
All right, I'm gonna do a video, a vlog. That's
there you go.
Call, right?
A vlog.
You'll get to see me and hear me. How great will that be on the vlog? So we'll do that. But there are two species in particular, the Bifido and the Lactobacillus, and it will be on our blog, so you don't have to worry about scribbling these down. The Bifido and the Lactobacillus, and you want to have at least 20 billion units. Now, here's the problem with probiotic is that it's gotten a kind of headline status, where it's in everything. They have probiotic in candy bars, and it's become a universal cure-all. It's not easy to make nor preserve these live bacteria, and many of them are killed in transportation. In one study, they found 70% of the products off the shelf had nothing in them. All the bacteria had died. So you need to be mindful of your source. You want to get it from a credible distributor, and you want it to be at least 20 billion for its protective benefit when you go to the hospital, maybe even more. So that was your tip from last week. What do you want to talk about first today? Medical stuff? Political stuff? What's on your mind, Shane?
What do you got?
I got both.
What's our options?
What do you think, Nick?
I'd go political first. Make it lead into medical.
Lead into medical. So, because in our spirit that everything connects, the state of human well-being has to do with your financial and your political security. The number one cause of premature death in the world is starvation. And the number one cause of starvation is warfare. And the number one cause of warfare is political inequality and dictatorships. All these things connect. Now, pay attention. I'm going to educate or reinforce your current knowledge regarding what I call editorial biasing in headlines. So here's a headline, Shannon and Nick. I want you to tell me what you think of this editorialized spin. It says, Syria strike muddies U.S. ties with Russia. The U.S. attack, that is, this is from the Boston Globe, a notorious editorializing headline paper. Syria strike muddies U.S. tied with Russia. Think about that for a moment.
Muddies, messy.
Messy.
Yuck.
And they're blaming the altered state of relationship with Russia on us for bombing that child-gassing murderer in Syria. 80 people dead, hundreds lifetime wounded, many of whom are children, indiscriminate bombing. And it's our fault that we mucked up Syrian, relationships with Russia? No, the headline should be Russia's failure to act against Syrian gas attack ruins relationship. That's your headline, folks. The Russians can stop this in a heartbeat. If the moment those gas attacks had occurred, Vladimir Putin, that murderous dictator, I just said that out loud, man. His agents are going to be after me. That murderous dictator who bombed a civilian passenger flight out of the sky. Do I need to remind you folks about this? He could have gotten on the air and said, this we will not stand for. And it must stop. You know, if he does that, we don't have to bomb Syrians because he has the ability to stop it instantly. So that annoys me. You know, it's not our fault. It's not Trump's fault. You got to blow up their warplanes if they're using them to gas children. Is that pretty fundamental? Can we all agree?
That's pretty agreeable.
Can we all agree that gassing children is bad, right? We can form a committee, a think tank, and we'll come up with a conclusion. Gassing children is bad. Can we all agree? And bombing the planes that delivered the gas to kill children is good, right? Now, let's get rid of the fog here and stay focused. Drives me nuts. You know, warfare is just killing.
But what's that other headline you had? Nuclear or something?
Oh, right. So all week long, right, Nick, you've heard about the nuclear option.
Of course.
The nuclear option. The Republicans are going to pull the nuclear option so that they can somehow jam this miscreant Gorsuch down our throats as a Supreme Court justice. All the man's ever done is stellar service by anybody's account thereof. Right, I think he would qualify for one of Gina Raimondo's scholarships. Gorsuch would. I think he would.
I think he was a good enough student. High enough might. GPA? Did he have a 2.0?
Did he get a 2.1 in studies in, what, communications? All right, so tell me what you think. Nick, tell me what you think when you hear the word nuclear.
Well, you think about bombs.
Bad, right?
Yes.
It's a bad thing. You know what it comes down to? This is what the nuclear option was and is. It is eliminating the annoying practice known as a filibuster so that you can pass by majority rule an appointee. It's majority rule. You know what we call that? Democracy in action. A filibuster is a remnant of a bygone era. And people lament the paralysis in Washington, and the filibuster is one of the things that's paralyzing it. We all remember the movie, or we've heard of the movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where this noble senator executes a filibuster and prevents horrible things from happening, right? That's Hollywood, people. The filibuster is an annoying tactic used by the minority party to prevent things from happening. The Republicans did it when they were minority. The Democrats are doing it now that they're in the minority. It's obnoxious. Let's get rid of it. And it's not a nuclear option. It's a modernization of Senate rules such that things can move forward. You hear that headline, Shannon? A little bit different, isn't it?
A little bit.
You know who else did a nuclear option, by the way? Do you remember hearing about the nuclear option when the Democrats did it back during the Obama administration?
Nothing.
Okay, well, they did the same thing so they could eliminate the filibuster for lower court appointees. Only then it was not a headline as a nuclear option. We need to be mindful about the way our thoughts are colored by these events. How am I doing over there, Nick? I have time to talk about the Providence. Now, listen, kids, I'm all for you. The Providence Student Union did a strike or a protest recently, not a strike, a protest, to highlight some of their concerns. They want, now here's their radical position, Chan. They want buildings that don't have leaky roofs. They want new school construction.
No.
Absolutely.
Come on.
I know, these radical kids. What are they thinking? They want clean drinking water with no lead in it. You know, brain
too much.
Destroying lead. They want clean drinking water. What are they thinking? And they want mental health counselors. You know, we all talk about the explosion of depression and drug abuse. It starts right there. You show me a good school that is well-funded, and I'll show you people who love their kids. And you walk around some of these schools, and you have to wonder why we have gleaming political buildings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gleaming police officers, spectacular fire stations, and schools that are crumbling. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, but pretty much everybody goes to high school, correct?
Pretty much, yeah.
Not everybody goes to college.
No.
So why are we dumping millions of dollars into this ridiculous scholarship endeavor so that the elite can get even more privileged?
Doesn't seem to line up, does it?
It does not. The majority of kids going to college are white suburban kids, and the inner city schools, I don't care how much money you throw out the scholarship program, until you fix those schools from the construction of their institutions to the reinforcement needed to educate, you're not going to see the traction you want. So when I come back, I have to finish this story. Then I promise, folks, we're going to flip to the medical issues that are important to your life. But I got to highlight this whole issue with a personal history story. And when we come back, we'll be talking about prostate cancer, breast cancer, living the 120-year lifestyle. That's what we want for you all. I'm Dr. Pedderudi. More after this break. Dr. Pedderudi, I am back. Nice choice, Nick. This is a great song, huh?
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Who is this? You don't know. You got to go to look at. There go your DJ credentials, Nick.
I just like the song.
I love the song, huh? What is it good for, baby? And here's a little historical tidbit. And if you're a historian, you can call and challenge me on the point I'm about to make. I maintain the best way for a civil war to unfold is to let somebody win and somebody lose. Anytime they try to balance it, it extends the bloodshed. Imagine the U.S. Civil War had the European powers come in and create a demilitarized zone along the Mason-Dixon line. Now look, it's horrible, bloody, and grotesque. But at the end of the day, you got to pick a winner and a loser, and you got to be done with it. And that's what we need to do in Syria. We need to decide, who do we want to win this mess? And we need to help them win. All right, let's move on, though. So here's my take on this educational fiasco. They're trying to jam down the taxpayers of Rhode Island's throat. Look, folks, this is the classic camel's nose under the tent, right? You've heard that phrase before.
I've never heard that phrase before.
Never heard, Nick, have you ever heard that?
No, never.
Oh, you guys make me feel so old. So it speaks to the fact that the camel sticks his nose under the tent and it seems innocuous. And later, the whole damn camel is standing right next to you, farting and cleaning up your whole space, right? Well, Gina Raimondo wants us to believe that this is going to solve Rhode Island's financial woes because we are going to be elevated by this new class of highly motivated, college-educated individuals, right? And it's only going to cost us $30 million. That is a joke. It's another public welfare program that starts little and takes on a life of its own. And that figure is going to skyrocket, draining money from the state that needs to be investing in high schools like we just heard. The reason why kids are not progressing to their four-year degree is not due to minor financial shortfall. It's due to poor preparation in high school and the inability to perform academically when they get to college. Would you agree with me, Nick? You're in college now.
I would agree with you.
Now,
yes.
These kids whine because they got it. I need a part-time job. I don't want to take out a loan. You know what? If you have performed well in college, you wouldn't have so much burden when you're trying to execute your curriculum, correct?
Correct.
So here's a classmate of mine when I was in medical school. I'll never forget Gwen, a beautiful woman. Graduated number one in her class from Overbrook High School in inner city Philadelphia. Won every award that a student could win. Went off to Franklin and Marshall, a very nice liberal arts school, and almost flunked out. And it wasn't for lack of money. She said, Steve, I was not as well prepared as the middling student from a suburban high school. She goes, I am angry at my high school for giving me false comfort, making me feel great. That's what we need to do to move things forward. Here's another vignette. I have this patient of mine. He graduated high school, went in the Marines, left the Marines and started his own business. He's doing very well, thank you. In fact, he's doing exceptionally well. No college degree. You know what's ironic? This military veteran, should he choose to go back to school, would not qualify for Gina's scholarship. It's only for recent graduates. Imagine a single mother drops out of high school, gets her GED, works for a few years, wants to go back to college, does not qualify. It's only for recent graduates. Now, imagine somebody illegally sneaks over the border. They're welcome, and we'll pay for it. How does this make any sense? And there's no check on the system. You or I could jack the tuition to the moon, and we're going to pay that check. So let's get in the way of this. Let's redirect. You want to spend $30 million bucks? Spend it on high schools. And by the way, I have to call out East Greenwich school system. Shame on you, deadbeat East Greenwich school system. You wealthy, affluent, suburban school. You know what they did? They cut all of the intramural sports from the junior high school.
Wow.
Axed them. You know why? They don't have enough money. They don't have enough money. Are you out of your mind? This is neglect. This is child neglect. You have kids that are out of shape, and they complain that they're going home and watching their video games. And what does it cost to run intramural sports? $5,000, $10,000? I have no idea. That's shameful. Absolutely shameful. Spend the money. On a certain level, you're going to get some results. You know, it drives me crazy. Anyhow, we got to keep you folks healthy. And right now I've given you all agita because we're talking about these things. And don't take Prilosec. I've already warned you about that. Now you know about probiotics, but did you know that there's a correlation? 3 minutes. There's a correlation between antibiotic use and cancer. A recent study, a survey of the Nurses Health Initiative, found that use of antibiotics in midlife corresponds to increasing colon cancer rates in later life. And there's a direct proportion. The more antibiotics, the greater the risk. Developing something called adenomas, which are precancerous nodules. Kind of makes sense, Shannon, when you think about it, doesn't it? That the healthy bacteria supports good immune health. Now, here's the problem. We want antibiotics, don't we? You go to the doctor. How many times have you heard this one? You know, doc, I've got this cough. I've got this congestion in my nose. I thought I would nip it in the bud. And I'm going to take some antibiotics just so it doesn't turn into pneumonia. People, let me correct your thinking. There's no such thing as nipping it in the bud. It's a virus. Right, Chan?
I hear you.
It's a virus. It's unless you have chronic lung disease, when you get the sniffles and your head's congested, and I don't care what color the stuff is coming out of your nose. If it's green, if it's yellow, it means nothing. It is a virus. But here's the pressure on doctors, and I once heard this from an old colleague of mine. He said, when they come to you with a head cold, you know it's a virus. You know the antibiotics don't work. But to convince the patient of that will take more time than you have to give. And if you don't give the antibiotic, they're going to leave you disappointed. They're going to go down the street to the next doctor, get the antibiotic, and then they're going to get better, which they would have done anyhow. And they're going to credit the antibiotic with improving them. And they're going to call you a quack because you didn't give them the drug. And that's the type of business pressure that drives some decisions. Right?
Yep.
I had one doc say it to me this way. You know, the patients come in, they spend the money out of the time out of their day, and you give them an antibiotic, it's like a door prize.
Horrible. That's horrible.
I had another ER doc, she said, when they come into the ER, it's like we give them a few Vicodin. It's like a door prize. Just get them out the door.
God.
So what do you do instead, folks? You do your IV drip to kill the virus. We have the Shield at Intellectual Medicine. It's a beautiful thing. High-dose vitamin C obliterates virions. Like, we have the Shield, right, Shannon?
We do.
The beautiful
drip. Every day.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing to do because those antibiotics will cause you harm. It takes almost a year for the bacteria of your gut to recover because the antibiotics will not help you get better, but the IV will.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Hello, everybody. I am back. It's Dr. Pettirudi with Intellectual Medicine, leading you on your journey to 120 healthy, youthful years. You know, Shannon, part of our mission is to protect people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, pull up a chair and listen closely, because this affects everybody. But before we get to that, Nick, what was the name of the musician that sings that song, War?
Edwin Starr.
Edwin Starr. Now, he seems to me to be a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, but it was such a big hit that a lot of people covered it. The Temptations, Bruce Springsteen. I was looking at all the covers of it. It's amazing how many people covered that song.
Wow, and that song was the original version. That was Edwin Starr himself.
Yes.
Very good. I'm gonna download that with all my other great music channels.
Wow,
it's a great radio
awesome
song
playlist.
It is. We have to like make that part of our mantra. We're all about peace and love here. We're about peace and love and protecting you. Now, in order to protect yourself against the harm of conventional medicine, you have to be aware of the dynamic of self-interest. Now, everybody has an agenda and everybody has a bias. And Shannon, we have one in intellectual medicine, and we have to be transparent, right? We support the use of intravenous therapy to protect your immune system. We support the medical treatment, the appropriate treatment of weight to get you to your best weight to live your longest life. And we heartily advocate the replacement of hormones, bioidentical hormones, as a component, but not the entire aspect of life extension. So we start out our belief system advocating for the 120-year lifespan. You know, a recent meeting of scientists, not doctors. But doctors are wonderful people, but they're kind of yeomen, right? They're workers. They don't really do the research. 90% of the people in the advanced field of anti-aging medicine are now of the belief that the 120-year lifespan is achievable and should be pursued. And that's what we're doing right now. We are bringing the science to you in real time. I don't have 30 years to wait for this, Shannon. I'm 58, soon to be. And I don't want to wait 30 years and find out then what I should have done now. And here's something that you should do, and part of this is what you don't do. So I had a kidney stone years ago, Shannon.
Oh, I remember.
That moment. And, you know, conventional medicine has its place, and its place for me then was helping me rid of the kidney stone. And I remember my doc said, yeah, if it weren't for kidney stones, my kids wouldn't make it through college. You know, that's an admission of that correlation between activity and reimbursement. Now let's turn to prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is a muddled circumstance at best. And I maintain that the conventional approach to prostate cancer is doing more harm than good. In one study, they looked at two groups of men with prostate cancer. One got treatment, surgery, radiation, etc. The other did nothing. 10 years later, the death rate from prostate cancer was the same. It is entirely possible that prostate cancer, in most of its forms, is an indolent, quiet, clinically irrelevant phenomenon of abnormal cells that just sleep in your prostate gland unless you muck them up. In another study, Shan, they found that 85% of men, they did a cadaveric, that is an autopsy, on men who died of other causes. 85% of them had prostate cancer in the gland, these little cells. Now, all of a sudden, we've got men worried about prostate cancer. It's appropriate, but we do not have a credible screening test that can separate those who should have a procedure such as surgical removal from those who shouldn't. But you get your PSA and it's elevated. The next thing that they're going to recommend is a biopsy. Now, why? Why biopsy a perfectly healthy man just because a number went up a little bit? And here's the pressure. Number one, fear of malpractice. If I'm a urologist and your PSA went from 1 to 3, and I don't stick a needle up your butt and jab it with 20 pokes in your prostate, I could be sued for malpractice later if you die of prostate cancer. So I'm motivated by fear. Two, I get paid. I get paid to stick a needle in your butt 20 times, send you home in misery, but I get paid for that, and I am insulated against malpractice. Three, patient misconception. The idea that every cancer is going to kill me or grow or expand is part of what drives this phenomenon. And the doctor reinforcing this whole concept. Listen, if you've ever had a prostate biopsy, and I've not had them, but I've spoken to many men who've had, the doc says, that's no big deal. No big deal. It's miserable. Now, think of this for a moment. Many of these cancers are what's called encapsulated. Encapsulated. They are ensconced in a shield, if you will, separating them from your body. Think of it like a little Ziploc bag. Inside the prostate is this tiny Ziploc bag with a few cancer cells in it. Your PSA goes up, and the doctor jams that needle up your butt 20 times all over the place. Bang, 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 bang. Do you think that might disrupt stuff? Do you think if those cancer cells are there, that they may muck them up and send them screaming through your bloodstream, through your lymphatics? Rest assured, your doctor will convince you that that cannot happen. They have no basis upon which to say that. There's no scientific evidence that sticking needles into cancer will do you no harm. It very well could. So there you are. And you know what they're recommending? There was an article in the New England Journal of Medicine just last week that spoke to this controversy. And to their credit, the esteemed New England Journal of Medicine had a very balanced approach. And they were advocating that it is utterly reasonable in the face of prostate cancer to do nothing. Do not cut that out. Now, let's look at the financial self-interest. You are, I don't know, ex-hospital. Pick a hospital. And you spend $1 billion, not that much, $1 million on the Da Vinci robotic machine, right? This gizmo that can take out prostates better than ever and has less of an incidence of impotence and leaking urine. Notice I said not no incidence thereof.
We just had a client in, he was talking about, and they said 50%. They can't even guarantee 50% that he won't be impotent or have leaky urine.
Nice, nice. So you're that perfectly healthy guy.
Yeah.
Your number goes up. You get the surgery, and the rest of your life you're in a diaper, right,
mm-hmm.
with a unit that's like an overcooked vermicelli. What is going on here? Is this any way to live, men? Do you want to live like that? You don't have to. But this idea, Shan, you know what they call it? If you do nothing, it's called active surveillance. Active surveillance.
Wow.
It's a fancy way of saying doing nothing. You know what active surveillance calls for? PSAs every 6 months and annual prostate biopsies. Oh,
wow.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, they keep sticking that needle up your butt. You're going to beg them to take your prostate gland out. No more. No more.
Well, but, why every 6 months?
Why not? Because they can do it.
Because they get money, because they have just, to do something.
Look, it's active. Everybody's nervous. And nobody knows what the hell to do. It's driven by philosophy. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of what I call profiles in courage and in intellectual medicine. Part of the problem is that doctors do not believe that nutrition, that IV therapies, and that weight management can help you. Now, we know prostate cancer is accelerated and increased by adiposity, excess fat cells. And we know how to treat that successfully and permanently and lower that cancer risk. And it's a cornerstone of our cancer prevention and our secondary prevention program. Secondary prevention in cancer does not exist in the conventional realm. It has its home in intellectual medicine. When diagnosed with cancer, or if you're in this watchful waiting dynamic that they like to impose, we believe in high-dose intravenous vitamin C on a regular basis. It's cheap, it's harmless, and it has the potential to kill stray cancer cells and keep that prostate cancer in its encapsulated form. What makes it break out of that encapsulated form, in our opinion, besides sticking it with a needle 32 times and pissing it off, is weakening of your immune system and giving the cancer the upper hand. So you do these IV infusions, you maintain your erections, you maintain your urinary control, you don't have to have needles stuck up your butt, and it can be safely managed. Now here's a patient of ours, Shan, and this is about 6 years ago, he went to see his conventional doc, his PSA went up, they did the prostate biopsy, he said, yeah, prostate cancer. Now when do you want to schedule getting your prostate removed? So he was in there for the consultation, and the doctor's talking to him, and he looks the doctor in the eye, and he said, can you guarantee me that I'm going to be able to control my urine and that I'll be able to maintain erections? And the doc looked down, disconnected his eye contact, and he said, okay, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And he got up to leave. They practically tackled him going down the hallway. They made him feel like he was being reckless with his health. That is a form of emotional coercion that we are heartily against. Listen, folks, if you choose to get your prostate removed, it's not the wrong choice to make. It's contingent upon you, right? What do you value? What's your philosophy? If you get your prostate removed, is there a reduced chance that you will ultimately die of prostate cancer? The answer to that question is probably yes. In fact, in the New England Journal, they found that when you treated prostate cancer, the death rate for prostate cancer was projected to reduce by 1 out of 1,000. It means for every 1,000 cases, there'd be one reduction in death. It's not that impressive. No. But it's all about the individual's state of mental health. You know, some people go to bed every night saying, I have prostate cancer. You know, and they cannot get it out of their brain. And they don't care if they wear a diaper. And they don't care if they ever get another erection. Okay, go forward. But for those who choose an alternative pathway, we're here to support your freedom of choice and give you an active means of mitigating some of that risk. The notion of doing nothing, what's my choice, doc? Well, you can sit there and do nothing, or I can take your gland out. That's a hell of a choice, isn't it? So active surveillance, in our opinion, is an oxymoron. And we advocate that intravenous vitamin C, along with other select supplements, and control of excess adiposity should be the standard of care for indolent prostate cancer. We would save billions of dollars. We would save millions of men from morbidity and the misery that accompanies it. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about an analogous phenomenon in the realm of breast cancer. I am Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine.
It's tax time, and WPRO wants to help you out. Whether you file yourself or work with someone, make sure to listen to us for tax tips sponsored by Liberty Tax Service. Get tips and strategies to help do your taxes. Plus, if you owe taxes, enter the WPRO Uncle Sam Sweepstakes, and you could win $4,000 to help bail you out. For more details and to enter to win, go to 630WPRO.com. It's all sponsored by Liberty Tax Service and WPRO.
I'm Dr. Pederuti. I'm back. Hey, Nick, I like the idea that the PR is going to help me with my taxes. That's pretty awesome. You know,
it's too bad employees aren't able to enter, as Steve Klampkin said earlier.
We can't enter, huh? I'm not an employee, though. I'm just a guy.
I don't know what the stipulation is there.
They can just send me a check. That'd be good enough.
Be like dollars. Governor Raimondo?
We have. Why you go to college?
That's right.
Why you don't qualify?
I don't qualify. Damn it. All right. Well, we were just talking about the state of prostate cancer in the United States, and it is an absolute cluster. The thing I can share with you most importantly is slow down, get good information, and make a decision that you can live with. It's very much up to your philosophical orientation. My father said, he's a family doctor for many, many years. Nobody gets out alive. And ultimately, we deal with the philosophy of regret. If you get your prostate out and you're leaking urine and you're having complications and you die later of prostate cancer anyhow, you're going to say, son of a gun, that was a waste. If you don't get it out and you die later of prostate cancer, you might think, why didn't I get it out? Either way, the philosophy of regret can weigh in. So we're advocating for the conservative approach, what we like to talk intellectual medicine approach. And here's another intellectual medicine approach that can help many women with fighting breast cancer. It is another area where the information is very muddled, where the influence on decision-making tilts toward action as both financially reimbursed and medical-legally protective and psychologically comforting to women who are facing this awful dilemma. So I'll give you an example of a woman in our practice, Shan, had a mammogram done. Okay, that was probably her first mistake. We've talked about mammograms before on the show. We'll talk about them again. Horribly inaccurate, anxiety-inducing, and often unnecessary study. So she had her mammogram done, and they found a suspicious area, and they stuck a needle in it, and they biopsied it, and they found no cancer. They found atypical cells, basically funny-looking cells. And the surgeon said, well, we should take all that tissue out. We should go in and do a lumpectomy. Now, mind you, this woman has no cancer. But the surgeon said, well, you know, those atypical cells could become cancer. Could. Well, what about the other lumps in her breast on the other side? And what about next year and the year after and the year after? Now you're going to start chasing lumps, non-cancerous lumps with surgery. So with my consultation and guidance, she slowed the process down and demanded an MRI of her breast. Now, the MRI demonstrated no cancer, no mass, no abnormality of suspicion. So the surgeon naturally said, well, that's great. We don't have to biopsy, right? No. The surgeon said, I still think we should do the surgery. What are you going to take out? There's nothing there. But you see, the surgeon's not an evil person, but the bias is towards action because you're protected. And not only that, but these surgeons, they see cancer every day. So they have an altered perception of where the risk lies. And furthermore, these poor men and women have no credible alternative. Suppose you said to that doc, Shan, what can I do to help prevent cancer from happening? What would they tell you?
Nothing.
Quit smoking, exercise. And if suppose you said to that doc, well, how about if I got IV vitamin C every month? Would that help me? They'd say, what? No. What's no? Vitamin C?
No.
Intravenous vitamin C has been shown to be toxic to many forms of cancer. It's safe, and it's something that is highly underutilized and would afford another means of helping to protect relapsing issues of cancer. I had a call from a family member who was telling me about her friend. She said, do you think you can help her? She's had cancer four times. Four times. Listen, cancer is an environmental phenomenon. It's a combination of toxic environmental exposures along with an individual with an immune system that is predisposed. You have to look at that whole thing in a complete 360-degree panorama. If you want to lower your risk of cancer, you must be at your best weight. And that for women is 30% body fat or less, for men 20% or less, and that it requires assessing percent body fat, which conventional medicine does not do, but is a cornerstone of health assessment and intellectual medicine. A recent study, Shannon, found that even overweight people, now these are folks with a body mass index of 25 to 30. You know who has a BMI of that, Shan? Me.
Oh, you're like obese, aren't you, considered?
I'm overweight. Damn it. And according to the research, I will then die more young than I might otherwise have to.
Right.
That's bad news for you. You'll be without me that much longer. So we know that obesity correlates with a shorter lifespan, increased cancer risk, and increased risk of dementia. Right? Brain ages by 10 years faster in the face of ongoing adiposity. And yet conventional medicine continues to be ignorant toward how to treat this condition. And intellectual medicine, it is a cornerstone of life extension. Hormone replacement has critical value. But you know what happens when you give testosterone to an obese man, Shannon?
We know what it turns into.
What does it turn into?
Oh, lovely estrogen for them.
Yeah,
right?
So there you are. Not only are you then obese, but you're growing breasts. How wonderful. Thank you very little, Dr. Hormone. You've got to know what you're doing out there and balance all these different things. A staggering rate of mastectomies are occurring in some parts of the country in the contralateral breast, the opposite side from where the cancer was, the healthy breast. In some counties in the Midwest, Shannon, 50% of women that have had cancer on one breast are choosing to get them both removed. This idea that any organ is at risk of turning into cancer, therefore you should take it off. There's surgical complications, aesthetic complications. And women are doing this because of the fear that drives them, the belief system that there's nothing to be done that would prevent cancer from happening. Get the toxins out of your system. Get your weight in check. Let us help you with that if you need it. And protect yourself from excessive surgical interventions. There's just too much of it happening, too much harm being done. And that's part of what we are here to protect you from. The risks of modern medicine. So today we spoke about the over-treatment and over-investigation and over-biopsy of prostates. We talked about the need for secondary prevention, that is a means of preventing cancer from returning if it's ever been present. We talked about the means of logically and intellectually assessing high-risk circumstances that are not cancer, like a biopsy that shows atypia in any organ system, specifically in the breast. And we talked about the importance of using probiotics to protect your gut. And we talked about the risk of antibiotics and cancer of the colon. We did not talk about the cancer machine, that brilliant novel. And I did not give anybody a chance to answer the question, where does Anton meet Lisa? We'll come back to that next week. God, this hour goes by quickly.
It does.
Up next is Tony DeJesus, Big Blue Bug Solutions. Thanks to Nick. We'll see you all next week. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. I'm